Evening to James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we'll read the first 10 verses. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Let's pray. Your Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way your word reveals our hearts to us. We thank you for the way it can point to us and say, this is how you are. This is why you do what you do. And we're amazed as we look at your word until we're reminded that this word comes from the one who has made us and knows us. Lord, would you help us as we see these things to receive them, to be willing to agree with what your word says about us? And then would you help us to turn to you in humility and call on you for our help? We praise you in Jesus' name. I love reading articles and books that tell me why I do what I do. Fairly recently, I bought a book on habits. I read most of it. I don't remember the title, but it was great. It talked about how you form habits. And one of the things that stuck in my mind was this idea that there are certain sort of keystone habits that all of the rest of your kind of self-disciplines kind of hang on. For a lot of people, it's exercise. It might not be the most important habit in your life, but it's one of those fundamental ones, and if you kind of let go of that, everything else sort of falls apart. Might be other things. Exercise, but that idea that there are these kind of key habits. When I read the chapter, I was able to kind of look at it and say, yeah, that actually is kind of my experience, that there are certain things. If I let that slip, everything else is going to fall apart. And I kind of find that to be delightful. Being able to see where some insightful person has looked at kind of humanity and said, okay, we're not all different. Here's something I can say, and I can read it and say, yes, that's right. That's talking about me. That's kind of how I feel when I look at this passage in James as well. I think it's speaking. He's speaking in a similar tone. This is why you are the way you are. Here is why you get into conflicts with others. When we think about conflicts or fights, I think our minds often go to particular fights. And from our perspective, often every one of those conflicts was different and justifiable. This is why I had this particular conflict with this person. This is why I got into a disagreement with a coworker. Totally different issues. Why do I get into fights and quarrels? Because others are very unreasonable, much of the time. But James goes deeper than that to look at our hearts. Points to the desires that are battling within us. Why do we fight? Because we're not getting what we want. Something rings true in this passage. But the point of this passage is not just to learn something new about ourselves, some new skills for social interaction. It's to come to a greater understanding of who we are, people governed often by inordinate desires. We want. And our wants are often not submitted to God. Verse 4 tells us we're an adulterous people. And the answer to that is humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. I'd like us to look at really three things. The first one, just self-understanding. What do we see about us when we look here? The second one, God's judgment. And then finally, how we should respond to that. Well, the whole beginning of this section is focused on that idea of self-understanding. My unmet desires result in ugly conflicts. Those might be outward conflicts with others. Could think back to some particular disagreement that you had. Maybe you're a loud disagreeer. There are threats and yells. Maybe your disagreements are just like an electric silence. No words, but the charge is in the air. There's disagreements with someone, the roots of those outward disagreements, our unmet desires. I think we can say the roots of our inner conflicts are the same thing. We feel torn and not at peace and tempted to complain and moving toward bitterness. The roots of that inner conflict. I'm not getting what I want. James isn't saying that our desires are always bad, but our emotional turmoil with regard to those desires shows how we are clinging to what we want. If the fruit of my desire is conflict and turmoil and bitterness, then I'm desiring that thing inordinately. I'm sinning in my desire for it. James is telling us that we're people who are full of sinful desires, or at least desires sinfully held. That should be part of our self-understanding. Those desires and that sinful way of holding them isn't an indication that we are adulterous people. That's really where we get the big connection to this morning's service. that theme of spiritual adultery that Hosea develops, jumps in here again at verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Think about this. When Hosea uses that term of spiritual adultery, he's talking mainly about idolatry and running after other gods and worshiping them. But James uses that same term, and he's not speaking, I don't think, to people who are offering sacrifices in idols' temples. He's speaking to people who are consumed by the things they want. Speaking to people who have what he calls there a friendship with the world. Friendship with the world is hatred toward God. What is friendship with the world? It's wanting what the world has to offer, thinking that what the world will provide will give an ultimate satisfaction. It's thinking that what I need fundamentally to be happy is this thing in the world that I am being denied. Whatever it is, a house, a car, a spouse, or a better one, more distinction, more responsibility, more free time, more wiggle room in my budget, more respect, more affection. Wanting these things inordinately is enmity to God. We might want to say, no, it's not really unfaithfulness to God. I'm still faithful to Him. I just want these other things too. It's not that I would give up God for these other things that I really want. I just want the good things, the feelings the world can provide also. Well, that's a lot like saying, I want what my spouse can provide, but I want something else too. That's unfaithfulness, according to God. It's the definition of adultery. It's enmity to God. So as we look at this section of James, we see that he looks at us. Said we have a mass of unmet desires leading to conflict. We are an adulterous people. Our second point is God's judgment. Unlike Hosea, this passage doesn't focus much on the judgment of God, certainly not in the sort of graphic terms that Hosea used. But you notice the different phrases that James uses to talk about the way God views this kind of spiritual adultery. He uses that phrase, enmity to God. Loving the world and wanting what it provides makes you an enemy of God. It's a sobering thing. His enmity rests against those who want inordinately the things of the world. Look at verse 5. It's a question. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely? It's a confusing verse. There are a number of different options if you look down in the footnote of what people think maybe was going on here. But it seems to me that the idea is that God is jealous of his bride. Not an envy for stuff. He is jealous for our hearts. He doesn't want us to run after anyone else. We've seen that God is an enemy of those who are spiritually unfaithful. We see that he envies their hearts. It says that God opposes the proud. You might be able to look at this whole passage and say, we haven't really been talking about pride exactly here. We've been talking about wanting what the world has. But in that wanting, in that demanding, things that I want and demand, that is a heart of pride. A heart that won't submit to God but wants something else. That's pride. God will not simply let that kind of pride go. He stands against it. As we look at James, we don't see the same kind of colorful language that Hosea had. But still, he's saying, if you set your heart on things other than God in such a way that you're bitter and angry when those things are taken away or withheld, then God will set himself against you. Well, how should we respond to that? It seems to me like there are two ways to respond. One is to say, well, if I'm at enmity with God, well, then I got to double down on that and really get what I want. I need to get what I want from the world, try to find my satisfaction, my peace, try to avoid conflicts by getting all of those things, by fulfilling my desires, by becoming a bigger friend of the world. That is one response. I'll have fewer conflicts if I just meet all of my desires. But the other response that James is calling for is humility. To see this threat of enmity and to say, what do I have to do to avoid that? Have to do is come near to God, and he will come near to us. Wash your hands and purify your hearts. James is pointing there to repentance. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's nothing more humble than recognizing that there's nothing I can do to save myself. That I'm utterly reliant on God, on the one that I've wronged. The wonderful news is that God responds to that act of repentance with mercy. He will lift you up. Sheds a light on spiritual adultery, not just the worshiping of idols, but the wanting inordinately, expecting to find satisfaction in the world. The answer, turn to God, humble yourself, and he will lift you up. In the high school Sunday school class, we have been working our way through the book of Joshua. Not really reading all of it. There's a lot of, you know, allotting the land to different people. We're skipping some pieces, but jumping through Joshua. And fairly recently, we made our way through chapter 9, which is the Gibeonite deception, where the Gibeonites saw the advancing armies of Israel, and they witnessed the destruction of Jericho and the destruction of Ai. And they had a couple of options. They could join the Canaanite alliance various kings of Canaan, all the mighty lords were gathering together. They were putting aside all of their quarrels. They were recognizing we need to unite to stand against Israel and against Israel's God. Now that was going to be a futile attempt. The Canaanites, even the ones in Jericho, had heard what God had done to Egypt, a country far more powerful than any of these Canaanite kings. But regardless of that, they unite in opposition to God. And that's what the Gibeonites could have done. But what they recognize is that there's no real security apart from Israel's God. And so they humble themselves. They dress in old clothes. They pretend to be from a faraway country. You remember, it says specifically that the people of Israel did not consult the Lord. They just signed a treaty with them, seemed to think this is great. They're coming from far away. They want to follow after our gods in some way. And then almost immediately, after signing the treaty, the Israelites figure out what's happening. And Joshua goes to the Gibeonites and he says, "Why did you do this? Now you're going to be our slaves." And I love the way the Gibeonites respond. They just say, "That's fine. No problem. This was our only hope. The only hope was turning to Israel's God." It seems to be what James is telling us. Humble yourself before him. But we don't need to trick God into having mercy on us. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of mercy mixed with power. Day by day, as we go through our week, may we see our need. See in ourselves the spiritual adultery that James is pointing to. We confess our sins, humble ourselves, and be lifted up by God. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you for revealing to us our hearts. Would you help us to resist a sort of friendship with the world that is a spiritual adultery against you? Would you help us to recognize that our only security lies in repenting of our sins, in humbling ourselves and drawing near to you? You are a great God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for revealing your mercy to us in Christ. And we thank you that you are a God who satisfies all the desires of those who draw near. Praise you. Please be with us in Jesus' name.